My dearly beloved in Christ, this meaning the Mass, is the heart of Christmas. In fact, it is the Mass on the feast of our Lord's birth that gives us the name Christmas, the Christ Mass. In those happy days in England before the Protestant Reformation, when England was thoroughly Catholic, there were various names given to the holidays because they were also holy days. And so we have the word Christmas. I wonder how many people in the world who use that word have any idea that it comes from the Mass that is offered on the Feast of our Lord's Nativity. Every Mass really is a little Christmas, because in the Mass, God the Son comes down on the altar. Just as he came into the world, being born in that little cave at Bethlehem. We read in the Gospel for this first Mass of Christmas that Caesar Augustus decreed that there should be a census. And in this we see how God arranges everything to serve his purposes. Because it had been prophesied in the Old Testament that the Redeemer, the Messiah, would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Now this emperor, Augustus, who was really the first Roman emperor, began his reign in the year 27 BC, and he died in 14 AD, so a reign of almost 40 years. And what was unique about it was that finally, when he became emperor, there was peace. All of the civil war, all of the fighting had ceased, and Rome enjoyed this, what was called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace throughout the world, a fitting time for the Prince of Peace to make his entrance onto the world stage. So Joseph and Mary, obedient to the command of a secular government, went to Bethlehem. Joseph was a descendant of King David, and David was from Bethlehem. So he went to his ancestral home to register with Mary, his espoused wife. And the time for her to be delivered was at hand. But there was no room for them in the city. And so they retired to this poor stable where God arranged that his divine son should make his entrance into the world. The entrance of the Redeemer, the long-desired Messiah, came in the middle of the night. Everyone was asleep, except Mary and Joseph and those few shepherds. The people of Bethlehem had no idea what was taking place in their little town that night. I would like to read the description of the birth of our Lord by Father Faber. In his wonderful book, Bethlehem, in his inimitable way, he describes the virgin birth. And as I mentioned yesterday in our Sunday Mass, that Mary was a virgin before, during, and after the birth. The birth of the divine child was utterly painless for our Blessed Mother, who was in an ecstasy, and it was miraculous, so that it did not in any way detract from her virginity. But these are the words of Father Faber. The desire of her heart, like a shaft that cannot be recalled, had sped its way. It reached the heart of the babe, and at once she felt the touch of God and was unutterably calm. And Jesus lay upon the ground on the skirt of her robe, and she fell down before him to adore. Twice had her pure desire drawn him from the home of his predilection, once from the uncreated bosom of the Father, and once from her own created bosom, which he tenanted. It was as if the sweet will of Mary were the timepiece of the divine decrees. So our Lord was born then in the stillness of the night. wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger which provided the food for the animals, fittingly, for he is the bread of life. He came into this world to nourish us with his own body and blood, to institute his sacraments, to found his church, and to redeem us. And the angel stood by the shepherds who were keeping the night watches and told them that that night there had been born to them a Savior, Christ the Lord. They would find him, and this would be the sign. They would find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. They went to Bethlehem. They heard the angels singing. They went to Bethlehem. They found the child. They adored him. And their hearts were filled with joy as they returned and told everyone what they had experienced. Now, as we reflect upon these marvelous events, let us also call to mind the reflections of Saint Alphonsus Liguori. In his wonderful book on the Incarnation and Infancy of our Lord, he says, reflect upon the difference that our divine Lord, the Son of God, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, from being almighty, became weak. From being wealthy, being king of the universe, he became poor. From being so lofty, he became so humble. And you see that contrast. Why? We think that he should have been born in a palace, amidst splendor, amidst luxury, amidst wealth. But no, he was born in a stable, among beasts. His first adorers were the poorest of the poor, the shepherds. And we see in this that God's ways are not our ways. But we also reflect on why our Lord came into this world in this manner, in order to draw our hearts to him. If he was in all his majesty and splendor, as he appeared to the three chosen apostles on Mount Tabor in his transfiguration, we would fear to approach him. But he is very approachable in the manger. Let us, as we kneel before the manger scene in the church and in our homes, and we look upon the figures and reflect upon the birth in time of the Son of God, let us give thanks to our Lord and let us love him. Let us reflect on how much he did for us to prove his love for us. Let us then love him in return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.